for regulation of dairies. We'll have a presentation by Mr. Neely, and if there is anybody that wants to comment on that, we'll please give me a speaker card. I'll follow Mr. Neely's presentation.
Good morning, Board. I am Mark Neely, of your staff, Senior Engineering Geologist in charge of the Non-Point Source Unit.
Thank you.
And I'm here today to talk about regulation of dairies in the North Coast region.
Yeah.
Next slide. Oh, I've got the
Don't look
bottom
at
one.
It.
Yay. Okay, first question, and we get this a lot. How many dairies are in our region, and where are they located? Well, as you can see, that most of the dairies are found in a couple of counties. Humboldt County has 75 dairies, and these numbers are all approximate, by the way, at least at this point. 75 dairies in Humboldt County, mostly centered around the Ferndale area. It's considered the Humboldt Dairy Belt. The Sonoma Marin have the next largest aggregate of dairies in the Southern Dairy Belt. Del Norte has 9, Mendocino has 4, and Siskiyou has 3. So you can tell where most of the activity is found. We have a number of permitting options represented by these boxes. We're envisioning basically a tiered approach depending upon the size and the impact of the dairy. There are federal NPDES CAFO rules that were finalized in 2008. There is the WDR waiver, which is our primary permitting mechanism. And then conceivably, there are dairies that do not discharge and will not discharge and would either fall under the waiver or would not fall under it at all. So the CAFO rules. CAFO stands for Confined Animal Feeding Operations, and I'll go into more detail in that in a minute. There are a couple of attachments in your packet that explain some of the ins and outs of that program. It's fairly complex, and I'm going to venture a bit into nomenclature, although I'll try and stay away from that at this level. And what are CAFOs? Well, CAFOs are a subset of AFOs. AFO, stands for Animal Feeding Operation, and there are two criteria. One is that animals have been, are, or will be stabled or confined and fed or maintained for a total of 45 days or more in any 12-month period. And crops, vegetation, forage growth, or post-harvest residues are not sustained in the normal growing season over any portion of the lot or facility. And as I said, a subset of AFOs or CAFOs, confined animal feeding operations. And there's a couple of them that are spelled out in the federal regs, a large and a medium. Large, the standard is it's an AFO that has 700 or more head of dairy cows. And there's medium CAFOs, which have 200 or more dairy cows, and a couple other criteria. That pollutants are discharged into waters of the United States through a man-made device like a ditch, or pollutants are discharged directly into waters of the United States which originate outside of and come into direct contact with the confined animals. This is the case of like a stream flowing through a pasture area or through an actual facility. And of course, we can always designate any operation regardless of its size as a CAFO if we determine the operation is a significant source of pollution. There are also numbers for other animals under CAFOs because they indeed extend beyond dairy cows, include sheep, goats, chickens, you name it, they're all in there. But we're going to be focusing on dairies in this particular permit because that's where most of the facilities and the impacts are. Another permit that is open to us is the statewide general industrial stormwater permit, which covers stormwater discharges from certain industrial processes. Presently, there are 6 dairies in our region that have industrial stormwater permits. There's 6 of them that we know of. They're all in Sonoma County, and they're mostly in the Petaluma area. And then, of course, there's the waste discharge requirements, our basic permit, which can be either individual WDRs or general WDRs. And we're mostly looking at the general WDR approach. Now, this region does presently have a waiver that covers confined animal facilities. It's under resolution number R1-2007-0098 under the category confined animal waste. And there are two requirements that must be met under this waiver. One is that the discharger must comply with the California Code of Regulations, Title 27, Division 2, Subdivision 1, Chapter 7, Subchapter 2, Article 1. Also known as Title 27. And confined animal waste operations, also under the waiver policy, confined animal waste operations that require NPDES permits under Federal Clean Water Act regulations must obtain such permits and are not eligible for waivers under this policy. And one point I want to make that I didn't put in here is that all these mechanisms require some form of a nutrient management plan, which is the basic document that spells out how they're going to handle their wastes, ensures that wastes are applied in an agronomic rate and not applied beyond that. Includes BMPs and things like that. So all of these mechanisms require that document, kind of the heart of the permit. So given these various options, there are a number of choices that must be made depending on a case-by-case basis, depending upon the dairy. And I spelled out a few of them here. These actually came from the NPDES folks here in the office. Say a dairy has wastewater that does discharge directly to surface water, which is unusual, and the dairy meets the requirements of the CAFA, which I spelled out earlier, then the NPDES permit is required. If wastewater reaches surface water, not directly, but say through overland flow or something like that, and dairy doesn't meet the definitions of a CAFO, then the NPDES permit is not required and WDRs are an option. And in the case of where wastewater does not enter surface water in any way, then WDR and waivers are an option. And there are other decision points to be made, but this just kind of gives you a flavor of this. Now, what are the other regions doing with dairies? Region 2, our neighbor to the south, presently has general waste discharge requirements and a waiver. However, the waiver expired a year or two ago, and they're in the process of revising their WDRs and waiver, and we are in close cooperation with them. Since we share a dairy belt, we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, even if the permits aren't the same exactly, that there's still consistency so that people in the region can have that kind of consistency. And we are in contact with Region 2 as I see us on parallel tracks. They're hoping to do the same thing this year that we are as well. They also have a conditional waiver for grazing activities in Tamales Bay, because Tamales Bay is listed, TMDL listed for pathogens. The Central Coast region has general waste discharge requirements. The Los Angeles region has a general NPDES permit. And there's more dairies in Los Angeles region than you would think. Region 5, which happens to have 75% of the dairies in the state, has general waste discharge requirements that I believe are NPDES as well. Region 6, the Lahontan region, has individual waste discharge requirements. I guess they don't have enough dairies to make it worthwhile to issue a general permit, at least not as of this point. The Colorado River region has an NPDES permit and general WDRs, as does the Santa Ana region. And then the San Diego region has a conditional waiver for discharges from animal operations and individual WDRs. Oops, wrong way. So where to from here? And this is some news. We have expanded the team that is going to be developing the permitting system. And within the Timber Non-Point Source Division, we have brought on Sherry Blatt, who works for the Southern Timber Unit. Is Sherry here? There she is. She's going to be helping Scott Gerges carry this process forward. As I say, Sherry is in the Southern Timber Unit. She's a water resources control engineer. She's been with us for 10 years, and previous to that, she was in Region 6 for 10 years. So she has a lot of experience. Plus, she was born in Wisconsin, so.
But those cows just aren't as happy.
We won't get into that here, but. So we're excited about having Sherry on board, and she's excited as well. So you'll be seeing a lot more of her. She'll be involved in all aspects of this, as will Scott Gerges, a valuable member as well. We're also going to be asking for some help from the Core Regulatory Unit folks, John Short's guys, because there is an NPDES component here, and they do NPDES, and our division unit doesn't really have that experience. So we figure that's a valuable thing to bring in with the NPDES nexus, potential NPDES nexus. We're also seeking contract assistance from the US EPA. There is money available, and we've been told there's a good chance we can get some money to get a consultant to help us in this process, help us with the federal regs. They're pretty complex, as you can imagine, and I don't think we're at the point yet where we really know exactly the ins and outs of it, and we can seek some serious help on that from the EPA and the contractors. In fact, we have a conference call this afternoon to hammer out some of the details on that. The State Board obviously will play a role. The State Board, my understanding is there's been talk of a statewide dairy permit, but nothing has been done on that front at this point, and I don't know where that goes from here. But with the State Board, the Office of Public Participation is a valuable resource for the public outreach, which will be a major portion of our effort. Also, the various programs, the non-point source program, the irrigated ag program, can also lend some help and assistance. So as I say, outreach is going to be a significant component. We're going to have a series of workshops, hearings, et cetera, both north and south, probably in Siskiyou County as well. Some of the stakeholders that will be brought in or have been brought in include the Farm Bureau, the Western United Dairymen, who's here today, individual dairies, for instance, Clover Stornetta is also here today, my understanding, and environmental groups. We want to open it up to everybody, all the stakeholders who have something to say on this. Some of the partners will include the UC Cooperative Extension, which has a significant technical background and assistance. And the RCDs also will be important players. And there's quite a few RCDs in our region. There's actually 9 and then a couple others, I think, that maybe spill over, like Lake County. And also we do have a RCD representative in the office as well. So we are hoping to get this whole process done this year, this calendar year, 8 to 12 months. We're certainly going to go full force from here, and we'll keep you guys in the loop and certainly solicit any input that you guys have, that the board has, that will help us. And that's pretty much what I have today. I certainly have questions and other folks available to join in as well.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
Thank you, Mark. All the way back to slide one, mm-hmm. large are 700, mediums are 200, and we've got 71 in Sonoma County and 70-something in Humboldt County. Do we have any idea how many fall in each of those categories?
No, we haven't gotten to that level yet. We have a database of the dairies that there was no one place we could go to get a list of dairies, so we turned to the Department of Food and Ag, county commissioners, et cetera. So that's some of the homework we're going to have to do is find out the size and where those big dairies are located. We tend to think they're probably in the Humboldt and Sonoma Marin dairy belts.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nord.
Mark, thanks for bringing this up.
Sure.
It was at my request that you're here today, and I thank you for and your staff for coming. A couple suggestions and comments. Mm-hmm. The Region 2 dairy permit is out there. It's been out there for a while, especially the Sonoma Marin dairy belt that you mentioned, mm-hmm. is a very much a common area that straddles that regional board boundary.
Right.
And from what I know, the Region 2 permit, it's been largely out there, implemented, mm-hmm. accepted, and it's somewhat the law of the land out there. Mm-hmm. And as such, I would encourage staff, our staff, to absolutely participate within the Region 2 going forward so that we have a common, our common interests are met. Mm-hmm. We could be specific to our area, but that we give our dairy community the benefit of some common permitting mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily political boundary oriented.
Right, and I wholeheartedly agree with that yeah. because they do have a process in place. It does seem to work and does seem to have a good level of acceptance within the industry. As I say, they are in the process of revising theirs, so theirs may look different this year, too. Yeah. We're not quite sure, but no, we'll certainly
absolutely.
Be.
And, yeah, and I think we should retain that right to be specific to our you know geographic areas and that site-specific issues. But, again, just the request is, you know, and you're doing it. Your staff is doing it, so I think mm-hmm. that's great. On a related topic, I know that there's been requests from the industry that we have consistent participation also within the Dairy Task Force. This community as essentially not having a framework that they work under in our region has yet not sat on their hands. The Dairy Quality Assurance Program out of the Western United Dairymen, and then the Dairy Task Force that's been working for, I think, years, if not maybe a decade, that has implemented on their own quite a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. And again, just a suggestion is that Dairy Quality Assurance Program, I think, has a lot of good pieces and parts to it that mm-hmm. add to and complement, I think, our permit process. So again, I would ask that our staff have a sustained effort and presence within that process, that I think it pays great dividends. I think it gives the regulated community some assurance that we are in it for the long term, that we have their interests are heard and considered along the way. Mm-hmm. So a couple last things, too. You said 8 to 12 months, so it sounds like staff is rolling out a public process here, mm-hmm. and so yes. you'll be back, say, early next year.
Okay. Yeah, we'll certainly be coming back to you, to the board, and letting you guys know where we're at.
Yeah, one thing, too, just a comment. I think a CAFO, a federal definition of a CAFO, in my understanding, and I am not the dairy guru, but the I love cows, by the way, but the process of a CAFO, I think, is a discharge. It's a definition and a category that's based on a discharge or a threat to discharge.
Correct.
There is a number of cow criteria, but I think that even a 700-cow dairy can be exempt from a CAFO permitting requirement if they certify a no-discharge mm-hmm. Type thing. Mm-hmm. And it was my understanding that we don't necessarily have CAFOs. While we have some large dairies, I don't think from the discharge process or discharge definition that they meet that CAFO requirement. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding, and that's maybe wrong, but that's how I understand it.
No, I think you're pretty right on, actually, David, on that. So. But we'll find out. I mean, we're not looking at something hard and fast. Okay, you have 701 cows, so you're getting the NPDES
right.
permit. Well, we always retain that flexibility, and we'll use that.
Right.
So.
Well, thank you for your efforts, and again, keep us informed as you go too. As if you know, as this process unfolds, and I would imagine there would be a public workshop, perhaps here even that would come back to us in some form at some time.
But, oh yeah,
yeah.
They'd
I encourage you to
that.
Go for. Thank you very much,
okay,
and I'm very glad that Sherry that you're mm-hmm. you're going to work along with this unit. That's really great. Thank you.
I want to thank you for your attempts to achieve consistency. I think that's very important, and I think people do look at that to be fair. You mentioned Farm Bureau. I don't know how much the Humboldt County Farm Bureau has been involved. Mm-hmm. The reason I suspect not so much is they've made several inquiries to me on the progress and process, and I've basically just referred them to the triennial review and the priority, and that it is coming up. I can just tell you, even though I haven't really gone into it with them, concerns going to be former diked wetlands mm-hmm. With a dispersed dairy operation. And we're running into that a little bit in the Elkin Freshwater TMDL, mm-hmm. where you're seeing it in the area of residential wells. And at least the last time I acquainted myself with this issue, which was some time ago, There's actually very little vector carryover on cows' fecal matter compared to human and other. But the test to differentiate is extremely expensive. So the standard is based upon just a blank fecal coliform count. So that's why, for example, the oysters in Humboldt County are not harvested after rains. Mm-hmm. For a certain period of time, because they'll just assume that it might be a negative health vector, even though there's probably very little scientific justification, but everyone's bought into that way to ensure safety. But the real point is on the very wetland dairies, which I think are going to be probably the majority of dairies in Humboldt County, mm-hmm. you're going to have that problem. And In looking at the landscape here, and I don't profess to have sufficient knowledge, it looks a little drier than in Humboldt Bay, where mm-hmm. When I drive here, for example, a lot of these dairy lands, after this kind of rain, the cows are huddled on a few places where it isn't underwater. So I think it's very, if you don't, you will have to find a way to solve that problem, or you will wipe out probably half the dairy industry in the region. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And I wish I had more wisdom to convey to you on exactly how to meet our mandates and achieve that. But I would recommend at the earliest moment call in the Humboldt County Farm Bureau. I suspect Del Norte County is going to be real close with the same issues just because of water table concerns. Mm-hmm. And at least start talking to them, because I know they're very, very uneasy about the process. And one of your major policy things is there a sufficient distinction between your former diked wetland dairying areas and hillsides or not? And how are you going to handle it?
It is a challenge to come up with a region-wide permit that covers all the wide conditions, like you say. I mean, down here in summer, forage tends to go brown, and Humboldt stays green most of the year. So just things like that. There are definitely differences that we're going to have to fold into this approach.
And this may sound silly, but it isn't. Some of the Arctic geese were almost extinct. Mm. And that was because the Russian fur traders released predators and had business was really good for a while. They've undone that, and now you're seeing where it used to be 1,000 geese to 100,000, 150,000 geese. The problem there is what are the indicators, mm-hmm. again, on the public health vector, on coliform counts, and it seems real silly. Well, how can you be complaining about migratory birds? But they come in huge numbers now, which has been considered one of the major success stories. They leave, but it will be a factor that I think is significant enough. You're going to have to look at regulatory bird fowl patterns in making this work. And I realize that's quite a challenge all by itself.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mr. Chair, I want to assure Mr. Corbett, I've been going back and forth with the Humboldt Farm Bureau.
Good.
Trying to find a time. We were supposed to talk earlier this week, but it rained and they had to move their cows and had to cancel the conference call.
And one other just strange complication is the major wholesale purchaser of dairy has suffered some severe economic impacts.
Yes.
The industry itself, of course, you've had increased supply, decreased price, but that particular unit, which is the only one really in the county, happened to have very unique circumstances where it self-imploded all by itself. Mm-hmm. So their ability to represent the dairy farmers is at an all-time low, and so I think Humboldt County Farm Bureau will be your best bet to get a good representation of probably 3/4 of the dairies in Humboldt County, and maybe more, all of them.
Yeah. No, we'll make sure to include the Humboldt County Farm Bureau, and we follow closely the travails of the creamery up there.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds like things are stabilized, but the dairymen will tell you it's a dicey economy for them. So.
Yes.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Norton.
Just briefly, Mark, a reminder. There was a workshop here, it was about a year ago maybe, that Thomas Harder from UC Davis and another gentleman mm-hmm. Did some scientific research on Ferndale Plain related to nutrients and nutrient management, grasslands, And Thomas Harder is a real dynamic guy and has a lot of great data, very dynamic speaker, and has done a lot of work in Region 5 on dairies too. Yeah. And the threat to surface and groundwater on nutrient input from dairy. So I would encourage you to look at that literature and maybe go back. And I think, Scott, maybe you were part of that meeting, as I recall, that workshop here, and I think David Lewis from UC Extension was. So there's been work that's specific to Humboldt County, and within that equation, I agree with John that, yeah, it is geographically specific and distinct in some of the just the weather patterns and how it plays out and how, you know, where groundwater is and all that kind of stuff. Right.
I'd love to get a copy of this study. And then also I noticed in your materials you said a TMDL for Tomales, and I'd love to see that regulatory language because that might be really helpful benefiting from their experience.
Yeah, a group of us went to a workshop they held a few months back in Point Reyes, and it is very impressive. There's a lot of materials. There seems to be a lot of buy-in from the industry again and or from the grazing community. And similar situation to Humboldt Bay, they have the oyster farms there in Point Reyes.
That's why I wanted to look at it.
Right, and there's a lot that we can glean from that and use. So that's a good point.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. I do have one single speaker card from Leslie Court. If there's anybody else that would like to talk as well, please fill out a speaker card and give it to Ms. Lockett.
My name is Leslie Korp. I'm a field representative for Western United Dairymen, 1315 K Street, Modesto, California. I just wanted to express our support of your staff. We are glad that we are a stakeholder in this process. My area is basically from Marin all the way up to Del Norte, so this really affects all my dairies. We were a stakeholder in the Tomales Gray grazing waiver, and we did put a lot of time and effort into that. We came out with a permit that we believe is the best that we could do, and Region Board 2 was really great to work with. We hope that this process is the same as that, and we are more than willing to put enough time and effort into it to both make it, you know, effective for you as the regional board, but also fair and reasonable for the dairy industry. We also wanted to express our appreciation in the support of your staff in their recognizing that the dairy industry has gone through one of its hardest years ever, and we're very fortunate in this area to have as many dairies left as possible, especially with what has been happening up in Humboldt County. And right now that's still a continuing issue as suits have been brought on for monies that we don't know where they went. So we just wanted to thank you again, and we hope to work a lot with you in the future. So thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, Leslie, can I ask you a question, please?
Yep.
Can you take one moment in a condensed version and explain the Dairy Quality Assurance Program that Western United Dairymen implement out there?
A condensed version?
and maybe today's not appropriate. If it's not, then that's fine because it's just
the CDQAP, Dairy Quality Assurance, California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, came out of research from UC Davis. They put a lot of time and effort into it. What it is, it's basically a three-step process. Dairies have to go to at least 6 hours of classroom time where they get to learn about regulations, why these regulations came about, and some problems that might be occurring on their dairy. They have homework they have to take home, risk assessments. They have to go and evaluate their dairy. They have to size their ponds, and we provide some of that work for them to make sure that their ponds are adequate for the 25-year, 24-hour storm event, that kind of thing. Then they have a third-party evaluation where somebody that knows dairies, that knows water quality, comes on the dairy and actually goes through it with them, asks them questions. If they are fine, if it looks like everything is contained and they have enough storage and they are all caught up in the regulatory requirements, they get certified. So they get a sign that's posted outside their dairy. They get that for about 5 years, and then they go under review again. That's kind of the short version of it. CDQAP also has other areas that they focus on, like animal welfare, bioterrorism, and that's a whole different other thing. But a lot of the dairies in this area have taken the classes. Most probably most all of them have taken classes with CDQAP, and a lot of them have certified. I think most of them are in Marin County that have certified under the program, but there are some in Sonoma County also, and up in Humboldt. So it's a national-wide recognized program, and they've actually won some national awards with it because it is, you know, it's a voluntary program. So.
Well, that was a wonderfully condensed version. Well, and by the way, I think that the quality assurance program is very important. I think that on your own, as an industry, you have essentially started the process of self-regulation. It makes our job a lot easier. I think it's an important milestone to reach and look at those accomplishments and simply either fold them into what we're doing or enhance them or maybe decide that they're just fine. And well, I think they're really important.
And I think it gives us pride to do things on a voluntary level.
Absolutely.
Rather than mandatory, because we can say, hey, we did that, and you know, we're the first ones to put that system in, and it actually gives us a little bit of pride to do it that way. So CDQAP also gives them an incentive that, you know, if they have water fees, they get 50% off on those water fees. So, you know, you have to give them a little bit, but usually they do a lot of it on their own. So,
well, thank you. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks.
Mr. Reinierson, we will make you fill out a speaker card for this.
Mr. Newly
for that, two speaker cards.
Mr. Newly elected chairman. I'm Gary Reinierson. I'm a member of the Humboldt County Farm Bureau Board of Directors, and I'll make sure the handouts that were provided today, we'll go back to Catherine Queen, the executive director of the Farm Bureau, and I'll talk to Fred about getting a copy of the PowerPoint he presented and get that to all the directors so they can have them. And I think that this program and also we had a discussion with the joint meeting of the Farm Bureau and the Buckeye and the Cattlemen the other day. We've talked about the tamales. You know, we're aware of that. And also those same players, although this is the presentation today is directed at dairies, there's certainly the issue about lowland grazing, which all kind of starts to truncate a lot of the issues together. So we're also, I know Catherine's has been in communication with representatives regarding that. So I'll make sure the information gets back to the Farm Bureau and those other organizations. Thanks.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, okay. I think our standards have gotten way too lax here and need to be tightened up.
Duly noted, Mr. Corbett. Okay, let's move on to item 8.